This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
With Chopin the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Time for week three in the NFL. Great way to kick it off here with John Clayton on our show. He's been on our show for many years. You heard him described there as a consummate pro by Neil Everett in a SportsCenter ad. John, is that do you feel that is a befitting description of your professionalism? Consummate pro, you are honored by that, and you accept it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, it's like I'm respectful of the people I'm dealing with. I try to be respectful for the news and try to be respectful in not being able to betray anybody in doing that. So I would hope that would be. And, of course, I hope the information that I present is good and well-founded and interesting.
Bulldog, your thoughts?
John, I think a part of being a consummate pro is being on time all the time.
Oh,
and
yes.
You are 100% that, at least with us. I mean, I can't speak for what goes on in Pittsburgh or Denver, but you are right there. When, like, it is time for your hit for, like, however many years it's been, 40 years or so we've been doing this, I think.
Right.
You are bang nuts, 5 o'clock on Thursday. You are just there.
That's what it's supposed to be.
So
I
true.
Try not to do any different.
Whenever he can't make it, I get a text in advance, like a day in advance. Can't do it. So
yeah, and of course, I mean, the only reason I'm not able to do it that maybe one day is because I'll get a call from Sirius, and Sirius will have me hosting, you know, moving the chains, you know, and so that's like the only time that I'm moving anything around.
Yes. Well, we're glad to have you today, John. And so we're talking about a Bills team that won 35-0 in Miami. It happens to be their biggest win ever over the Dolphins by margin of victory. Their third biggest was the last time they played. They've owned this team. And yet, here, some percentage of the fan base is less than impressed. And it's really the quarterback that has people wondering, considering the super high level he played at last year. What do you think?
I mean, it's like, am I not mistaken in thinking that the Dolphins won 10 games last year? Am I not mistaken in thinking that Ryan Flores has done a good job of trying to build that team back, and they end up losing 35-0? I don't know what more Buffalo fans could want. I mean, sure, it's like, is this one of those things for fantasy and stats that you have to have Josh Allen throw for 350 yards each week and do this and that? It's like, and understand, it's like, everybody is still trying to adjust for the fact that, you have such a limited preseason with starters on the field, and everybody's still feeling their way. So, to me, that's baffling. I mean, what better can it be to go in, and certainly it was a disappointment losing to Pittsburgh in the first week of the season, but to go to Miami and be able to win 35-0, what more do you want?
Well, for me, John, it's really just thinking in the big scheme of things. The Bills are a Super Bowl favorite. That's how they enter the year. And a lot of that is based on Josh Allen playing at a level approximating what he did last year. And this year, the game Sunday, I mean, I know we sound like a bunch of heretics complaining about 35-0. We're not exactly complaining about 35-0. It's more like, I would say, for me anyway, I can't speak to the Josh Allen fantasy owners because I am not one. So that's not driving me to be upset about his stats. It's just I'm thinking I'm going to need him to be a better than close to 50% passer like he was on Sunday against Miami if they are going to really contend for the Super Bowl. And I recognize that there's 15 games to get that right, and for him to you know get where he needs to be. But I don't think they're winning anything big with him playing like he has played so far this year.
Well, again, it's early.
Right.
You know, everybody's still trying to make the adjustment to go out there and be able to play at a consistent level. It's like sometimes it just takes time. Now, the interesting part about this year is that in most years, you start out, the defenses are going to be ahead of the offenses. Well, this year, the offenses are ahead of the defenses, and maybe that's not the case with the Bills, but that's the case in the league because you have so many running quarterbacks and so many quarterbacks with RPOs and the ability to scramble around and make plays and stuff of that nature. But it's like, you know, I think everybody's trying to make too many rash judgments this early. I mean, a 35-0 win, is particularly in the division, that's the key. Because, again, if you're going to be a good football team, I mean, you've got to do the best as far as your record in the division, and that was a great win. And just because the stats aren't great, the results were great.
Yeah, John, when I brought this up, you mentioned Miami first. What did Sunday's game say about them?
Right now, I think that they're troubled. I mean, you can see that they've had a lot of issues at the wide receiver position. You can see that they have, defensively, certainly in this game had a bad game. And again, just teams have bad games. I mean, you've seen that for years. And so they had a bad game. Now they're going to be able to bounce back. I mean, certainly you know how good they are in the secondary because they have two of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league. Their pass rush right now, I think, is shaky. Their offensive line is not very good. And so it's like, they've got a lot more things to sort out than Buffalo.
And then in that AFC East, I mean, the Jets look like they're still not very far along, losing that game to New England, which lost to Miami itself at home in week one. What about the Patriots? Like, I feel like maybe, again, sort of interestingly, perhaps in the context of whether we're that impressed, the Bills were the favorite to win the AFC East all offseason, and I think there may be more of one after 2 weeks, even though they lost week one.
Yeah. I think obviously the Patriots are better than last year, but they still have some issues on defense that that have to be in question right now. And obviously there's nothing from the Jets. I mean that team is just brutal. They're absolutely awful. But I think what you're looking at is that they've got two $12.5 million tight ends. They've got an $11 million receiver. They've got enough running backs, but they also got a rookie quarterback. And you can see rookie quarterbacks take time. And with the rookie quarterback, they're still going to be up and down. And that's why still the Bills are going to be favored to win the division. And we'll see where the Patriots end up. But I'm not sold right now that the Patriots are a playoff team. They are edging closer, but I don't know if they're there.
Yeah, Mac Jones is obviously in the middle of that. You just said it, like rookie quarterback. And he's not the high end rookie quarterback, right? Like the flashy, broken play, improvise. Like he's more structure, and we'll see if that can work. I mean, obviously Tom Brady was wildly successful in New England, need I remind anyone, for 20 years playing in structure. So like the transition seems kind of smooth after the Cam Newton year. I don't know. Can you see Jones kind of easing into it and maybe improving by the midpoint of the season, if not sooner, or do you think it's just going to be up and down all year for him?
No, the one thing, and I think I know Josh McDaniels talked about it the other day and saying, no, it's not like we're holding him back. But I think you can see there's two different things that certainly came out in a game against the Jets in the sense that, you've got Zach Wilson trying to do everything and can't get anything done. I mean, 5 interceptions in 2 games, and they're trying to let him do too much. And I think in the case of Mac Jones, who's a smart quarterback, knows down and distance, he's a talented quarterback, He's got a strong enough arm. You know, certainly he's not the athlete of any of the five drafted in the first round, but I think that, you know, they're playing within that structure. And the structure right now is one that's maybe not flashy, but I think is still going to be efficient. I mean, say what you want. I mean, yeah, they lost the first game to Miami, but it was close. And they almost pulled it out. But in this case, I think that, you know, Mac is, I think, going to be okay, but it's just like, is it going to be good enough in his rookie year to be able to go to the playoffs? I question that right now.
With John Clayton on the Western Hotline, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. Let's talk about the rookie quarterbacks a little bit. There is just, at least, I guess it's maybe a little bit, it could be who I follow and read, but the amount of interest in when Justin Fields were to make his debut for Chicago is just massive. And it's by to my eyes, John, overwhelmingly in support of him, like doing so. Now it's happening because of an injury. It's one way that can go. And so he'll start this week for the Bears at Cleveland. What do you expect? And do you think he comes out? I guess it depends, right?
Well, what I worry about is injury. Because, again, say what you want, that offensive line is one of the worst put together in the NFL in the last couple of years. I mean, you got 39-year-old Jason Peters out there at left tackle. You've got Elijah Wilkerson, a former undrafted guy at right tackle. The guards aren't great. And say what you want, I mean, in week two, Andy Dalton goes out and you know, does a scramble, and he gets hurt. Okay, now here you have Justin Fields, who is really athletically great. Great talent. But the problem is that you know, he, even more so than Andy Dalton, tries to move around and you know, get the move and try to you know, make plays when the blocking breaks down, and that could lead to an injury. That's why I thought it was wise to start Andy at the beginning of the season, because, you know, at least in the case with that offensive line, you know, Justin Fields can get hurt. And so it's like, you know, protect yourself with Andy Dalton, because, again, it's a long career right now for Justin Fields. And I worry with that offensive line and his scrambling, because remember, at Ohio State, you know, he held onto the ball for, you know, 2.95 seconds each play. That's dangerous.
All right. Well, I'm really curious about him and Trey Lance, who hasn't made his debut yet. I mean, San Francisco is so good, and their schedule seems pretty easy, too, that might be a while. We'll see. John, not a rookie quarterback, but Ben Roethlisberger, right? The Steelers win here in week one. Their offense is not especially good. And then week two, it's the same, and they lose to the Raiders. What is coming in Pittsburgh, if anything? There's an injury, too. Like, is he – what do you think happens? I mean, they just ride out the whole – that's really maybe the question I want to ask. Do you expect them to ride out this season with him almost no matter what?
Well, if they don't, they're going to have a losing season and be bad for the next couple of years because, again, you know, he's a franchise quarterback. He's a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. And you go down to the next level with Mason Rudolph and, you know, Dwayne Haskins, and they're not going to win with those guys, particularly with the offensive line. But he's got the problem right now with the pec injury on his left arm, and every time he throws the ball in practice, and I'm sure it's going to be the same thing in the game, it's going to hurt. And so you wonder how that's going to go. But, again, their big problem is their offensive line. They changed five starters on the offensive line, and they don't look good. And, of course, here it is 2 weeks into the season. You know, Ben Roethlisberger's hurt.
Speaking of the Steelers, the Raiders just, you know, did whatever they wanted on offense against that defense, which sort of shook me a little bit because I felt comfort in Pittsburgh's defense being a certain level of good with what they did to the Bills in week one, and then Derek Carr and the Raiders just go dance on them. How good are the Raiders at this point in your mind, John? I mean, they've got obviously the 2-0 record. The schedule is pretty favorable for them moving forward here. How good are they? And, like, you know, because they might have a really good record, but are they really good?
Hard to tell. I mean, you know, you can see that two things are carrying him right now. Derek Carr throwing for over 800 yards in the first two games, and Max Crosby rushing the quarterback, because all of a sudden, you know, he's emerged as one of the better defensive players in the league. He was, you know, AFC Defensive Player of the Week in week one. He was able to, you know, right now after 2 weeks, lead the league in pressures and lead the league in quarterback hits, and that helps. But again, you know, what happened last week is that Carr suffered a little bit of an injury, you know, so he's a question mark for this week, but probably will play. But if he can't play, then you go down to, you know, Nathan Peterman, and it's like, okay, now they can be in trouble. So like anything else, I mean, we had so many quarterback injuries last week. That's going to play a big factor in week three and a big factor for the rest of the season.
Nathan Peterman, tell us more. Who's that guy? Not familiar.
Well, I mean, Marcus Mariota's on injured reserve, so you know, he's not available. Nathan Peterman, you know, pretty much, you know, played every snap in the preseason for three preseason games. But is he any good? No.
Well, we have a little bit of experience with him.
Yeah.
All right. How about Denver? Bulldogs asking if the Raiders are legit. Denver's had, again, two kind of easy-looking opponents. I don't mean, again, compare with the Raiders, who have not had that. Mm-hmm. But is Denver a good team?
I think so, because, in fact, I think they're a better team right now talent-wise than the Raiders because, you know, they're better on defense. They got the best secondary in the league. You know, they got Von Miller. But here's the concern, and, of course, on offense, you know, they have, you know, three good receivers. You know, I mean, Jerry Judy's hurt right now, and they got two good running backs, particularly adding Javonte Williams. But you know, here's the concern. Here they are 2 weeks into the season, and they've had to place four starters on injured reserve and three that are on defense. And, you know, I know that they are already complaining, rightfully so, about their bad special teams. And what happens when you start complaining about your special teams? That means you don't have a lot of depth. And so, you know, if they keep getting injuries, now last year they were in the top 10 as far as injuries, as far as missed starts with 85. And, you know, that number could soar again this year. Where on the other side, going back to Buffalo, I don't know what it is that, you know, Sean McDermott's doing, but they're in the lower injury list for the last couple of years. That's impressive.
Yeah, really, almost since he got here. Like, they have been very fortunate when it comes to injuries. And you see some teams, like the Niners last year, or this has happened with the Chargers, that it feels like their season is over before it even starts. And, you know, Baltimore has been that team for discussion this year so far, and then they lose their opener, but that's a big bounce back for them to get that win against Kansas City.
Oh, it was. Yeah, no doubt about it. But, you know, at some point, injuries catch up. I mean, look at New Orleans. You know, they beat the Green Bay Packers in the opener, even though they had 10 new, they're down 10 starters from last year, and they won 38-3. So what happened last week? They played Carolina. They didn't have Marcus Lattimore. They didn't have Marcus Davenport. And they get destroyed one way by the Carolina Panthers. Injuries catch up to you.
Speaking of injuries, we hit on a couple of 2-0 teams. How about an 0-2 team here, John? The Colts. Carson Wentz has got two bad ankles. I don't know how deep the rest of the roster has been affected by injuries. You know, Quentin Nelson was hurt in the preseason, but he's been back. What do you see for the Colts? Does it look like it could be a lost season if Wentz is down?
I do, yeah. Because, you know, look at the opening schedule that they have. They open a schedule up against, the Seahawks. You know, last week they had to play the Rams, and then what they have Tennessee this week. They have five games opening up against teams that are 10-win teams from last year. And, you know, if you're going to be going, you know, with the two quarterbacks they have, Brent Hundley is going to start ahead of Jacob Eason. That's dangerous. I mean, they do get Xavier Rhodes back this week, their best cornerback. But I think right now they're in big trouble.
They have the Titans, you said. How was, in this weird world we're in now, life on the Tennessee sideline? Maybe from home, or I don't know where you were.
Well, that was from home, yeah, because we're not right now traveling, so it's like we don't know if or when we're going to be able to travel. So I did it from home. So, it was different. I mean, again, it's like you can see the celebrations and everything else, and then certainly, you know, Derrick Henry is just absolutely incredible.
Wow, right? Wow.
Oh, yeah, he's just amazing.
Joe and I were gloating, fantasy players here, about the poor first half, and he did not have a good first week. They got destroyed by Arizona. I mean, if they're way behind, forget it. And this game, they were down two touchdowns. Like, it just felt to me like this is another dud for Derrick Henry. Then you look at your phone, and it's 44 fantasy points. What happened? I mean, just he broke one, and then the two scores, he's kind of good.
No, in a lot of ways on defense, self-inflicted wounds by the Seahawks. I mean, you know, they had 10 penalties for 100 yards, five of them on defense, and, you know, a couple of taunting penalties, and those things are ridiculous in the sense that,
yes.
you know, why, why do they have the taunting penalty, and then why does it have to be 15 yards? That's too much, because you're making it like almost like an interference call. And then, of course, they had a couple late hits on the quarterback and other players, and so that helped drives to a point that helped them to two touchdown drives.
John, any questions for us today? We've been asking all the questions, and we don't want to seem rude.
No, let me ask, because I heard at the beginning of the show, why did they take the captaincy away from one of the Sabre players?
He's not going to play for them anymore.
We're going to need an hour, John.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Not play for him anymore?
If you want to stay on the line, we can explain in the next half an hour here.
He wants a surgery that they don't want him to have. They want him to have a different kind of surgery that he doesn't want to have. They've been trying to trade him. Mm-hmm. There's a word that comes after cluster that you could use here.
It's been bad, John. I can imagine.
Sabres have had more than their share of these episodes through their history, by the way. I know you know your hockey, but you know they've had it with different captains. Just like, are they hurt? We had it with, I guess, Rick Martin. We had it with LaFontaine. We had it with Dominic Hasek. Is he hurt? Is he not? Does he want to play? Does he not want to play? And then Pekka. And then the Sabres got really good after that. And then they got rid of the best players on the team. Like, I don't know. They have a special touch, John.
Yeah.
Different owners, doesn't matter. No. Something about the name or I don't know what. Okay. Thank you, John. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. There's John Clayton, his weekly appearance here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
They really do, you know. Like, this is, if you're old enough, there's been lots of these with the Sabres. Just sort of normal.
Yeah, good times.
This time they never got good at all. Like, other times were maybe different because 75, 99, you know, 06, 07, you have that peak, and then you're like, oh, no, wait a minute, I forgot. The rule here is they have to dump it. Like, they have to get rid of the best guys, or they'll get mad. The best players on the team will be mad at them and leave or something. Like, something like that seems inevitable with the Sabres. This time, though, it was all miserable. The entire existence of having Eichel was miserable. The only good thing about it was getting him.
And even that was
controversial. Yes.
And wasn't exactly what you wanted. I mean,
no.
it was second prize.
That too.
So,
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
His first game is pretty cool.
His first game was the worst.
Robin Leonard broke his leg because he was out of shape from concussions when they made him play anyway. It was an ankle, not a broken leg, but whatever. I'm running a little hot here. They tie the game, and it gets reviewed by an offside review for this ridiculous rule that nobody on earth that ever loved watching hockey wanted. It was not great, Joe. He scored.
That
was cool.
I was happy leaving the building, at least. Maybe.
Hmm. You were happy leaving the building because you're 18. Right. What do you have to be upset about?
Right.
I don't know. I wasn't in your head that night. I don't know. I might have enjoyed myself too.
You might have think you were exaggerating, by the way. I think I was only 19.
It was I thought I was right.
Okay.
It was an occasion, and it was an exciting moment. I mean, having not just Eichel, but O'Reilly was new, and Kane, and
all those guys debuted.
Whole,
yeah, it was really the aura around the night itself. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it was a cool, here we go.
That eventually got ruined by that stupid rule and, like, just whatever.
It's been off the road for 4 years, I mean, maybe, since then.
Yep.
Well.
Right, they did lose to the Ottawa Senators, I guess, at the end of the day.
They did. That's never good. Maybe this is a turning point for the better. Who knows? I mean, it doesn't have to always end up in failure. It doesn't have to. 803. Okay, break. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Dealing with. So I think in fairness to him, it's a healthy situation. He just focused on himself, and I think that alleviates a burden that he takes very seriously. Let's not forget that. I can tell you, he is very serious about that captaincy and was here, and that's a lot of work. That's a lot of extra work. So, you know, for him, I just want to see him get healthy and eventually play and not even have that burden right now so we can get back to that.
Don Granato about to take on his first full season as Sabres head coach. I guess I'm saying it. Yes, I think he gets the entire season. Yes, I do. You don't want to assume that these days, but
right.
Made a good impression, I think, on pretty much everybody, Granato, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So good luck to him.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Sometimes the best shot is the one you don't throw. I don't need to. He seems awesome. And it wouldn't be a shot at him. It would just be the Sabres. He is a bright light over there right now. And I hope that lasts.
Hear, hear. You know, Eichel, we have been on a couple other things today, but he's the story. He was the talk of the press conferences this morning. You know, it was not at all about the players that they have here. It was about him. And our conversation with Paul was almost all about him. And I think that's what fans are talking about. Like, what happens now? That's a great question. It's an important question, as Adams conceded. I was always saying this summer, yeah, I know you sort of want the, quote, perfect trade, the best trade you can get. And we would talk about, are you willing to wait? Or are you more likely to get it if you wait? These kinds of things. I just knew this. I just knew that for what I'm here for as a fan, which is to root for them and like them, I can get there. It's not hard. I can get there on a bad team. The most fun I've had in a decade rooting for them by miles was the tank year. Like, I really enjoyed that. And that's, you know, not meant to be sarcastic or anything. Like, it's easy for me. I'm quick to want to rebuild in sports. I'm quick to let's go get draft picks. I never want to be in the middle. I'm fine at the bottom. So all of that, they just needed to do this, though, so that I could have the team that they have, plus maybe two or three other guys that are really just ideas of good players. And, you know, okay. And I also think that while Eichel is the story today, by the time they start playing games, he won't be. He won't be until there's updates, you know, there's movement on him. It won't be about him all season. But, man, I wanted it over with.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't.
No. No, and that I think that, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, you said, like, well, you know, they didn't get these guys and it's not that big a deal. And, like, you know, because it really wasn't going to mean that much for this season. And I agree with that because, you know, I don't think, you know, whatever great level of grade A guys you might have gotten in this trade, that they probably wouldn't be fully formed and like, helping the top of your lineup for a year or more, probably. You know, any one of the guys, you know, the top shelf prospects that we talked about so much. But you would have been done with this, and you would have known, like, okay, I've got this, and their development can now continue under this coach, and we can sort of start piecing together what we're going to look like when we are fully formed, and when, you know, whoever we get in this trade are ready to be top line players. And, you know, maybe by then so is Dylan Cousins and someone else. I mean, I don't know who's next. Jack Quinn, Owen Power eventually will be here, maybe as soon as next year. And, like, okay, you know, let's go. I can start to get, you know, excited about the young guys. Without those pieces here in the Eichel trade, you know, what am I left with? I'm left with Robert Hagg in the Ristolainen trade and a seventh round goalie from last year's draft that's playing at Northeastern. I mean, that's not what I had in mind when we charted this path that we were going to trade all these guys. No. Like, there's picks there too, I know. And one of them was this year, right, Rosen, and then there'll be another one next year with provided it's not in the lottery or whatever it is protected with Florida. But as far as guys to, like, ooh, I like the look of that guy, I am nowhere. I mean, Hagg is he's barely an NHL player, I think, at this point. So it's just the thing. I mean, I said it a lot in the summer. Like, maybe the most important thing they're going to do in the next few years is this trade. And it not happening is tough. It's tough. It really just sort of holds everything back. I feel like even though I'm not going to be contending for the playoffs with whatever I got for Eichel, I would have been, I think, making progress with those guys in my lineup. I would have been finding out if what I got for Eichel is going to be worth anything. And I would have been optimistic about that if they were, you know, the high-end guys we were talking about. And instead, I've just got a year where I'm reading about prospects who I've barely heard of who have a chance to make the team. I mean, we've had some awful years. And this is not to say, like, the guys who are going to be here won't be trying their level best. But they could be in really, really tough here, especially up front. I mean, what do you expect from your number one center or your number one line in the NHL on a decent team? Who is that, like 65, 70 points from that guy? Who is that? That guy does not exist in this organization right now. Like, Dylan Cousins might get there, but I don't expect that this year. Casey Mittelstadt is older than Cousins, but there's no way I'm going to sit here and tell you I think Casey Mittelstadt has got 70 points on his no. I mean, I don't know, man. They're in tough, and maybe there'll be a surprise somewhere with chemistry and intangibles and work ethic and everyone being happy to come to the rink because they want to work really hard for the guys up in the 300 level, like Kevin Adams said today.
Yikes.
But man, good freaking luck. The team that they are going to be putting on the ice, I think, is going to be maybe one of the most outmanned NHL teams ever. That's what I think we're staring at here. And we've had years here already that we can't, like, hardly wipe from our memories. They were so awful to watch. I don't know, man. Like, I like a lot of these kids, but they're not ready to get on the ice and compete with Sidney Crosby.
Oof.
And Patrice Bergeron and Marchand and Pastrnak. I mean, I don't know, man. They are in for a tough year. I think, you know, unless what? You know, I don't know. The goaltending is out of this world.
That's hard to imagine, too.
Yeah.
The goal. I mean, Lukanen, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't think you want to expose him to that. I mean,
no.
Eichel could almost just be a distraction from all this, like a good one. Like, that's like if you just traded him for. I think it could have gone the other way. If you had just traded him for an O'Reilly package 2 months ago, and the new version of Tage Thompson's on the ice doing nothing, that to me is going to make me feel more pessimistic about the future than the fact that it's not done yet.
Yep, I get that.
I guess, but there's a law of diminishing returns on this, you know? Like, what's the difference?
I think the only pathway to getting proper value for Jack Eichel is the one that they're trying to chase. It wasn't there in the summer. But so many things still need to happen before you get there. I think you need to have him healthy, and maybe you even need to see him back on the ice again before anybody's willing to give you a prospect worth Jack Eichel.
Right, and I don't know how do we get there.
I just know, like I said to Paul, if I'm any other team who's liked this idea enough to consider it, I'm totally not doing that now with my young guys. This league is all about the young players. And these guys we've talked about all offseason as players the Sabres should want in an Eichel trade, if I'm those other teams, especially like Anaheim and LA that are not like really good, I'm rolling them out there. And I think there's good PR in that, but I think that could be my best interest for my team too. I'm never trading them for an older player. I know he's not that much older, but for somebody like his cost and his injury risk, I'm never doing that. I want to see what I've got. And in this league, out of 32 teams, like 25 of them are about the same. I'm not trading for rentals to try to score that one more goal and win in the playoffs. My fans know better than they used to. They're more sophisticated. They know that that's not a winning equation. I mean, there's still guys like Peter Chiarelli in the league, inexplicably, that they don't know that. So it still does happen. But, you know, we know that that's not a good idea. All different, from all angles, trading those guys that can maybe play in the league immediately is not a good idea. And so I'm not doing it now for somebody who's not going to play for me anyway. And what's the difference for my team? Like, he's got to be back on the ice, which is not going to happen. He's not going to play for the Sabres again and, like, reestablish his value or anything like that. I'm not doing it for those players, especially as the season is about to start. Yeah. I think that's obvious.
No, now's the worst possible time. Like, you should, at this point, you should be hoping, best case scenario is, one of the Kings' prospects has a good season in the AHL, and I can grab him after the season.
But I'm going to go 2 months. I'm going to be Anaheim or LA, and I'm going to go 2 months and lose. And then trade those kids? No. I'm trading four kids in this. I'm trading Kopitar in that situation for someone else's kid. I'm going to trade. It's got to be a huge win for me to do that, I think. And that's what we've been trying to avoid. That's why we waited, so that we would avoid. I'd just love to know what Adams knows, right? Like, what does he have in the way of offers? What does he have? I don't know. We have to take a break, and we are ending early tonight for the I'm Listening Odyssey program. That's at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
I want to remind you to let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Visit WGR550.com. Look for the TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills contest link and enter for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter at the end of the pro football regular season. One lucky winner will be randomly selected from among all entries to win. Good luck.
And good luck to you with your Ryder Cup picks and your DJ Moore tonight. Woo, that guy. Finally happening for DJ Moore so far. I hope he keeps it going. He's actually scored a touchdown. Is it two? I think it's two. He had 8 for his career, as good as he is.
He's had 2 really nice weeks sitting on the Tunsil's gas mask bench.
What they've done, if you care, what they've done is they have brought down his depth of target. Like, he's a guy that you could throw the ball to 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, and he just goes. He just breaks it. He can do a lot else, too, but that is, like, the thing about DJ Moore is bring him closer, throw passes to him closer to the line of scrimmage, shorter passes to him, and then let him run, break tackles. He had a famous run like this against, I think it was Atlanta last year, the year before. It was like, wow, who is that guy? Like, oh, yeah, DJ Moore. So I like them tonight. I think they might be really good. Darnold, Bulldog, like, so far so good.
Yep, so far so good. And the defense, we talked some about the defense yesterday off of the story that I referenced that Doug Farrar wrote. The defense is a real story, too. So
for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious to get a look at them tonight.
Carolina at Houston, about an 8-point favorite against Davis Mills, who was a top high school recruit, but had a very short college career at Stanford. This is his first NFL start now that Tyrod Taylor has been injured, and the Bills play Houston next Sunday. We are ending an hour early today because of the I'm Listening program on the Odyssey Network, which will be coming your way after the next break. See you tomorrow at 3. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.